This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
By golly, sometimes it just seems like he goes on forever.
What?
Your intro goes
on. Oh, well, they should have it another 5-6 minutes, you know?
Well, that's all. You're the king.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, I'm well paid, too. Well, anyway, thank you for listening today. Hopefully, I can impart some knowledge into your gardening minds. And this show is about ideas and information. And if you have a question, no matter what I'm talking about, you can interrupt me and you can call 673-4464 and ask your question, and I will give you an answer. And I'll bet you 99.8% of the time it's correct. What do you think about that?
Well, it's got to be better in our political world.
Well, about 92% better. Oh, today I'm going to talk about general landscaping projects and some other things that might be of interest. I'm not going to speak about a lot of different plants and flowers and things like that. I'm saving that for another time, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But one of the most difficult landscaping projects to tackle in our profession is a redo or a makeover at an old home, old landscape that's been in for, you know, quite some time. You know, you got to the client says, well, take out all the shrubs and trees and structures and make it all new again. Well, it's like a double job. One, taking everything out, and then two, putting everything back in brand new and to make it all new again. Now, some of these homes were landscaped 20 or 30 or even 40 years ago and then not professionally maintained or even maintained on an average basis for many, many years. So consequently, what happens? The trees get out of shape. The shrubs get out of shape. There's dead branches in them.
It's all natural.
All natural. And, you know, they're hanging on your house or they're hanging in your walkway or over the neighbor's fence who cuts your branches off. I had that happen to one of my clients. And they had some trees along the fence line and the neighbor cut the trees in half.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just dropped him in his yard, and they weren't his trees to do that with. I don't know if there's going to be any.
Oh, this was recent.
Oh, yeah, in the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for the outcome.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, we're talking about old landscapes, and what do we do with them? Well, the first step, you know, when you're speaking to a client that has this type of situation, it involves hours of discussion with the homeowner. You know, why do you want to take this out? You know, what is your vision for the future? And like I said, some say, oh, just tear it all out and make it beautiful and simple. Yeah, it's easier to say those words than to actually get the job done. And, you know, some folks want to save a special plant or two that their mom or their best friend gave them 20 years ago. And so you got to really be careful if you're doing it and you get the job and you got to work around that particular plant and prune it as nicely as you can, blah, 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 and all that. But often these plants are way overgrown and tangled up with other shrubs and or tangled up into the roof structure of the house or something like that. So you
what
have
a
no
choice.
You have no choice. You gotta whack them back. And yep. And then there's no leaves, and they go, oh, no, you killed my plant. No, you have to be patient. It'll come back, trust me. It takes about, you know, anywhere from 30 to 60 days, and you'll see new growth. It's okay. But but they all these usually have to be pruned very, very hard until they're bare sticks. Or, you know, they were planted too close to the house or fence, so you got to prune them hard. You got to get them away from the house. You got to get them away from the fence. And significantly, like, you know, 75% of the plant disappears. And, you know, and because if you some people say, well, can you transplant them? Well, those very old plants, it's almost impossible to transplant them successfully. I mean, it can be done, but it's a long, drawn-out process.
Very tricky.
Yeah, very tricky because, you know, you let's say you had an 8-foot plant. Mm-hmm. Well, that root system matches the top pretty near. So you have to prune it to handle it. You have to prune it way down. And then when you're digging it, we have sharp razor sharp shovels that we dig and cut the roots cleanly and all that. But the ball of roots coming out of there, you have to have three guys and a backhoe to pick them up because they weigh so much, and then redig a bigger hole in another part of the yard and a good and then transplant it, and hopefully you can make that thing survive. It's not a simple operation, and we've done it, and I've done it, and I think we've had success at least 75% of the time.
Well, that's pretty good percentage.
Well, it is, but I want 100%, so I'm selfish that way, but.
When in doubt, just leave it alone.
Yeah, when in doubt, let's just prune and leave it alone and keep it pruned, okay? And it won't be that ugly anymore. It'll be nice. But re-landscaping a mature yard is a lot harder, and it takes a lot longer, and it's more expensive than doing a brand new yard that's blank because it's like a double job. You've got to remove everything, take everything out, and refurbish whatever before you begin to redesign and re-landscape, the new yard, if you will. But and whereas you go up to a new house and it's all just graded out soil. I mean, it's so much easier.
Like a new painting canvas.
Yeah, right. It's so much easier to design that.
Yes.
And it's a whole lot cheaper, I'll tell you that. But just think of it this way. Think about what it's like to remodel an existing home, an older home.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tear out walls or bathrooms or kitchens and make it all new again.
Those
How long and expensive is a project like that? I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's landscaping is not quite as complicated, but it's still very
time
consuming.
Yeah.
If you do it correctly, I mean, you can get in there with a backhoe and start ripping things out and throwing them in a dump.
You listening, Dad?
Yeah, your dad did that all time, didn't he? But then when it's all clean, a new concept has to be designed at that point. And so there's a lot of talk about lawns, plants, patios, water features, that kind of thing. And it's a good idea to have several landscape books with many color photos so that the client can get an idea of what could be the new look and get an idea of when you say, I want to put a forsythia in there, or I want to put a pomegranate plant in there or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they have no clue as to what that looks like. And you try to describe it to them and say, well, the forsythia, it's a deciduous shrub. And they kind of squint their eyes. And then I back up and say, well, deciduous means it loses its leaves in the winter. And then they say, oh, no, I want evergreens. Okay. All right. So, you won't use a forsythia. You might want to use a azalea or a rhododendron or, a holly.
Or, that's what I was going to say, a holly with those little stickers.
Yeah, nobody's going to mess with that puppy. But, you want to, like I say, have a book with color photos that just helps the client be able to picture what could his yard be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the exact same picture that you're seeing, but that's the type of plants that you're talking about as to, that will do well in your yard, and that will give you long spring color, and then this one will give you color all the way through the summer, and then they begin to get the idea.
Yeah.
Because most folks, and I'm not saying this disparagingly, but most folks have no concept of landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
They see something they like, they plant it, usually in the wrong spot. But four of them where only one of them needed to be. But and I run into that all the time because they're cute.
That's
and they're
true.
Small,
yeah.
So I put four of them in.
And if it doesn't work,
it doesn't work.
Flower it out.
Yeah, right. But it's an educational process.
It really is.
It's a communication. Thing. Communication is the key to the success when you're dealing with folks about their yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like houses are a whole lot better to or easier to conceptualize for most folks. There's a house. Yeah, I like that one. No, I don't like that style. I like this style. Okay, we'll build you one like this, or we'll remodel yours like this.
Yeah.
And they get it. But yards are so different. Every yard is different, it seems, except in a brand new subdivision. There's a lot
all the same
repetition and stuff like that. Just everybody's got a sod lawn. Everybody's got two rhododendrons. Everybody's got one tree. It's like that for the whole half a block or half mile or whatever. But a real landscape is what you're trying to create is something that the client is going to like and live with and enjoy for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, communication is a big key. What do you like? What are you trying to achieve? What's your long-term? What do you want your backyard to look like? You want it to be private and shady and cool, or do you just have a wide open, just some shrubs?
Come on in, neighbors. Let's party.
Yeah, yeah, right. And it depends on the neighborhood and how close the yards are. I mean, there's a lot of factors that people who have not done this kind of thing don't think of because they've never encountered it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've encountered it 10,000 times so over the years. So I can say, well, this will happen if you do this, and your neighbor is right there. And supposing they plant this in their yard, not asking you if you mind if all the leaves drop in your yard or something like that, or not knowing how tall the tree they put 3 feet from your fence is going to be and how it will impact your landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of it is a real educational process. Mm-hmm. And that's, like I say, communication is the key to success on there. And that contractor, whoever it is, has to have the ability to create a picture with words before price is even discussed.
Right.
You have to, you know, take what they say, and if some of it's good, say, yeah, that would work here. And if some of it's bad, say, you know, just be real straightforward and honest and say, no, you don't want that simply because within 3 years, this is what it's going to look like, or this is what it's going to do, or that particular shrub spreads like wildfire and it'll get into everything else, and you're going to have a maintenance nightmare, you know.
And maintenance
has to be considered into the whole planning process, because some folks don't, you know, they look, oh, there's my landscape. I don't have to do nothing but look at it, right? Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No, 3 years from now, you go, what am I doing with all these things, man?
Why did I get the blackberries in there?
Where did the blackberries come from? Well, you wanted them.
That's your landscape.
So we put a row in for you. Oh, gosh. But, you know, there are several methods that I use of estimating a project. And this is when I'm meeting with somebody new. And the quickest method that I use now is initially to measure the square footage of the yard to be landscaped, and then I have a price per square foot, and I just multiply the square footage by my factor of what it's going to be per square foot, and then I can shoot them a range within minutes. You know, it can be done, like I say, just 10 minutes, and that way the client has at least an idea of cost. You know, like for a simple landscape, say a bare minimum, fairly low price per square foot, we'll start the conversation. You know, if they say, well, we don't want too many of this, and we don't want this, and, you know, we'll maintain it ourselves, and no, we don't want a lawn, and we just want bark and shrubs, or rock and bark and shrubs, mm-hmm. or something like that, something simple, and just a few of these, and maybe one or two trees. You know, my low price, you know, if they got 2,000 square feet, my low price, I just multiply that by 2,000 feet, and then I add, I redo it, and I give them a range. Well, this job's going to be, oh, say from four to 6,000, and they'll ask lots of questions after that, and mm-hmm. then you continue to explain what's going on, and that's a simple job. Now, if there are sprinklers and sod lawns and water features, then there's a much higher price per square foot, simply because there's more labor, more equipment, more materials, more plants. You know, mm-hmm. it goes into a whole new category, and you can also give them a price per square foot on that kind of landscape. But then the client, with all that information, can decide: do I just want a plain, easy landscape, or do I want a Disneyland or somewhere in between?
Right,
you know,
right.
It's because some folks, they don't understand the cost associated with putting a project like
and
that
and how
together.
Much work it's going
right.
to do.
Just like I don't understand the cost of why does a pickup truck cost $46,000. My gosh.
And another one costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
26.
But, yeah.
Yeah. How come? What happened? What? Yeah. They almost look the same, but, you know.
They just got a different tag on it.
Yeah, a different tag. And then you open the pickup door, and it's you know, really fancy, and it's got this and that, and, you know. And the
made
other one,
in China.
And, well, maybe. You never know.
How about a break?
We'll take a break before I get wound up here.
Okay. Hey, the lines are open. Yeah. And we're waiting for you to join us.
673-4464.
Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We back.
We're back. And been talking about bidding and creating landscape projects from old yards versus new yards that don't have anything in it. And trying to convey information out there to you all that maybe you have a big overgrown yard and you want to get it re-landscaped. Well, you really got to ask some questions, and you got to have kind of a plan of what you want it to look like in the future. And then you call a professional such as myself, and, you know, we can fill in all the blank spaces, and then you'll sit down real quick and shake your head and shudder and and say yes or no.
So. Speaking of which, have you found any help yet?
No.
None?
None.
I'll be darned.
Zero zip nada. I mean, and I'm, you know, I'm going through employment agencies and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
I can tell that's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. I could go on for a couple hours on that nonstop.
Governor Brown might hear from you.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so. Jeez. But anyway, as I was saying, I used to spend hours on estimates, you know, when I first started. Yeah. You know, you're measuring this and looking at this and thinking about this. And, of course, you know, when you're brand new and you don't have the experience that I have now, everything takes a lot longer.
Sure.
And, you know, I knew a lot about plants themselves, but as far as, you know, requirements of certain plants and soil requirements, water requirements, fertilization requirements, all that stuff. It takes a while to learn that. It takes a few years to get that stuff under your belt. But so I'd spend hours on estimates, and then I had an idea one day. And like I said, I figured out, you know, if I do this the long way and do it kind of quick, then I would do the square footage method. And I would compare the two prices, and I would adjust them for accuracy. And what I used to take several hours, I now can do in 10 minutes or less.
Nice.
And so I don't have to spend a lot of time, especially if the client says, well, I don't know. I don't have any idea, but I said, well, okay, I'll look at this. And
I'll
now
help you out a bit here.
Yeah, and if it's a big overgrown yard, I know I'd have to remove most of the material and then put in brand new material, then that price per square foot gets higher. But it's still, you know, if you got 4,000 square feet in your backyard, it might be $6 a square foot. When it comes out, if they want this and this and you know, and all the other stuff. And then when you're removing material, what kind of access do you have to the backyard? That's always a big factor, because some folks have a fenced backyard and they put in this little tiny gate that one person can fit through. Not a wheelbarrow, not a tractor, just one little old person. And so,
and not an overweight
person. So you got to take many, many, many trips, because you can't get any equipment in there to actually do the job faster. And so consequently, the price goes up, because your labor costs go up. And, you know, and again, that's not something that folks, even in a brand new house, consider. You know, here's a brand new house and they're putting a fence in for you, and Then they put this gate in. Like, you can get a wheelbarrow through, maybe, you know, most of them. But other than that, you can't.
Right.
And so consequently, you either got to take a section of fence down, which we have done, take that whole section out so you could actually get a small machine, not a big machine, just a small machine.
Riding lawnmower or whatever.
Yeah, riding a lawnmower, yeah. But I got a little tracked machine that has a front-end loader and a tiller and a leveling blade, and you know, it has six different quick fix
functions.
Implements and functions I can put on it if I can get through their gate. Well, my tracks on this machine are 48 inches wide. Well, most gates are not 40 inches wide.
No.
48 inches wide. They're a little bit smaller.
Quite a bit smaller on some.
So how about if I take out your fence, Mr. Smith? We'll get her there. But
and you can put it back up.
Yeah, yeah. But I found that the method of estimating the time gives the client a quick overview. I mean, we don't have to spend hours, and they don't have to you know, wonder if I'm ever going to show up again. But it's a quick overview because I can show them a range, and then we can discuss what's the less expensive estimate entails and what the higher price project entails. And sometimes the price comes in between the high and the low. You know, again, the communication process is the most important thing.
Right.
And the more you, the more you've done, I mean, I think I've done 10,000 jobs in the last 48 years. And, you know, that's just a guess, but it seems accurate.
Yeah.
And so I have learned stuff on every job too.
Sure.
Some way back, I learned a lot because I did some, you know, wrong things and I had to correct them. But you know, once you've got a handle on this, you can communicate this, and this is why the price is this, or this is why the price is that.
Yeah.
And if you can explain it in a rational way and say, well, I know you wanted a 12-foot tree, but a 12-foot tree is $228 or something, but an 8-foot tree is $115, you know, so. And a 12-foot tree, it takes a bigger hole, takes more time to plant, takes more soil to go in than a smaller type tree. And once you explain these kinds of things, the client usually gets it and say, oh yeah, I understand, so let's go with the smaller tree, or I don't care, I want the bigger tree. Okay, that's fine. But that's the thing, you need to explain, and you need to explain it in a way that they get it. They understand what you're talking
about.
And
you're not trying to rip them off.
No, you're not trying to rip them off. It's just that's what it costs.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And like you're doing these higher price projects, I mean, you know, it's that's what it is. If you want bigger trees, it's a bigger yard, you got more square footage to deal with. You know, one of the most frustrating things I've ever found and still finding is when we install a sprinkler system, we have to start at where their water meter is. And right after the water meter, you have to install a backflow device, which separates the house water from the irrigation water and prevents the irrigation. Now, here's the rationale behind this. It prevents the irrigation water from coming backwards uphill through the pipes and into the house.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that that makes a lot of sense? That's the law. If you have to have a plumber inspect, you have to get a permit to do it. I mean, it's all part of the price, you know. And then when you're all done, they come back and certify that you did it correctly. And then the device itself, you're looking at $250.
Wow.
And just it's
one of those state regulations.
Yes, it is. It is, and. But of course, the lower estimates of course are not going to include a sprinkler. It's not going to include a patio or a water feature or the large shrubs and trees and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's doable, and they just have to wait a little bit longer time for maturity of the landscape to progress and come into
its own.
Exactly. And there's ways to make that happen a little bit faster, but if you don't do it right, you can kill them a little bit faster too. By too much fertilizer? Well, it's what I do. Oh, gosh. But anyway, the heart...
Okay, Dad.
The heart of any project depends on the conversation about what the client wants. And in the long run, in the mature landscape. What do you want? Here, you know, this is what I want. I want privacy. I want shade. I want openness. You know, that's the kind of thing. You know, and some retired folks, they don't have to work, and they're living there, and they want a low maintenance so they can travel or go fishing or not work every day in their yard. Okay.
Visit Aunt Gladys.
Yeah, and Aunt Gladys is ready to take them to My Pillow. I mean, what the heck? Now, a low maintenance landscape is, you know, inexpensive landscape doesn't have to be a dull and dreary yard with some junipers and some rock. It, you know, some people's concept or their vision is, well, I'll just have a few ugly old junipers and a bunch of rock here, and that's and you know, this. Well, if that's low maintenance, I guess I'll live with it. You know, it's not lawns and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and But it can be very colorful with flowering shrubs and trees, just not a lot of them. And have the ones you put in, have them well placed.
Yeah.
And a few well-placed flowering trees make a dramatic scene in spring with their flowers, and then shade in the summer. And in the fall, they have beautiful leaf color. And so it's a
year round.
Exactly. And they're bare for, you know, December, January, February or something along that line. And when the leaves fall, you get the blower out, and in just a few minutes the leaves are gone, and you're in your low maintenance
cycle.
Yeah, but in a low maintenance yard, weekly maintenance occurs like maybe from April to November, because there's not much to do. And it depends on how you design it, and I'll get to that in a little bit here.
Okay.
But that way, you know, if you're retired, you're free to travel from like December through February or March. I mean, nothing's happening in the yard. It's just sitting there. So get out of town and go to Mexico or Houston or wherever and enjoy yourself.
China.
Yeah. Because, like I said, the low maintenance doesn't have a lawn, so you're not mowing. You're not irrigating. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have extensive flower beds and shrubs all over. But it still can be attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen yards that were supposed to be low maintenance that turned into a jungle over time because the wrong type of plants were planted. And that's why a person benefits from advice from a professional who's been around a while and knows how to grow plants.
And knows the area
and knows the requirements of that. Do we have another?
We do. We got another break. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You're catching on. It's only been how many years now?
Too many.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, imagine Dad planting things so close because he didn't want to see the neighbor.
Well, you know, but then after a while, when you got to cut them down because they're dying because they're too close together, then you see the neighbors.
See the neighbors again.
Oh, shoot.
We're talking maintenance, aren't we?
Well, we're talking landscape and prices of landscaping and how to maintain and the difference between a low maintenance kind of landscape and a high maintenance type of landscape. And it's all, you know, individual. It's, you know, people have different visions and different needs and different wants. So you gotta be real flexible and not only flexible, but there's another word I want, diplomatic, because when they mention a plant and you know that would be a total disaster in their yard, you can't say, well, that sucker would be a total disaster in your yard, Mrs. Jones. you can't say that. You say, well, you know, you might want to reconsider that one simply because it does this, this, and this, and it'll eat your septic system knock over your fence or, you know, and give valid reasons.
Into your bedroom.
Yeah, it might even break your window down. I don't know. but anyway, that's what I'm talking about today. Just, you know, how do I get to the point where I've convinced the client that my design and my information is good and give them numerous examples of why you would do this instead of that, mm-hmm. and why you don't want to put too many of those in, because this is what's going to happen in 5 years down the road. You're going to be take half of them out. Don't do that way, please. But anyway, I've been 48 years in this business right here in Douglas County. I started when there was only 3 landscapers in the entire county.
Wow.
And then the 2 that were older folks, within a couple of years, they retired. And for a while, I was the only landscape contractor in Douglas County, Oregon.
Wow.
Or in, you know, in Douglas County.
Yeah.
And so I at one point, when they were building Hewcrest out here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were building all these homes fast. I was doing 3 homes at the same time on the same block.
Oh, my gosh.
What a nightmare that was.
And you still couldn't find any help.
No, I couldn't. No, I had a lot of help back in those days. Yeah, there was a lot of people wanted to work. I'll work. But, you know, I've seen at least 10,000 yards. I know I use that expression a lot, but it seems like it's probably 20,000, but... You
probably
know,
is.
Yeah, and these 10,000 yards I've seen where the, quote, low maintenance turned into a full-time job.
Mm.
And what's the point in having a low maintenance yard if it's going to turn into a full-time maintenance job and it's a jungle? You know, your landscape, you know, the front is different from the back. The back is your private area. And your landscape should be a place to escape from the noise, from the neighborhood, from your job, the everyday pressures of life in general. Should be a place where you get home and go, well, I'm going outside. I'm going to go sit on the patio because it's quiet. It's shady. It's pleasant, you know.
I'm chuckling because all we had in our backyard were cows.
Oh, yeah?
So there we have it. That's what we have.
Yeah, but they don't give you a bad time, do they?
No.
They just look at you.
They smell something.
Well, they smell, yeah, but put a clothespin on your nose. You know, what the heck?
Well, no, they didn't talk. But
you know, that's right. See? Yeah, you know, so, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to create in your backyard. Now, the front yard, maybe that's more of a show place. You know,
yeah.
Because maybe you say, well, in 5 years, I'm going to sell this place, so I want it to look good. And, you know, I can give you reams of information from the real estate world where they say that if a client wants to buy a home and they pull up and the front yard is well landscaped, hey, the thing is practically sold.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't even quibble. They don't even care about the backyard. The front looks
good.
The
front, yeah.
So that's what sells landscape. So you do something simple with grass and a tree or two out front and call it good and keep it neat and clean. You're okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't mow it to the ground.
No. But the backyard, you want that to be your private place. You want that's your where you escape, and you can read, sleep, or you know, just.
Feed the cows.
Yeah, speak to the cows if you got any handy there. But you know, it's a place where no masks are allowed. How's that grab you?
There you go,
Governor. Anyway, about 5 or 6 years ago, a retired lady called me up and she said, "I would like to create a low maintenance yard in my front yard." And I went, okay, I'll come see you. And the reason I said I'll come see you, she said, because you did my sister's house, and I really like that. And so, bingo, I get sucked into that one. So I go.
Yeah.
I go over there, and it's in the green area. And there's a lot of newer homes in the area, and some are landscaped, and some are in the process, and some are kind of funky with their yards.
Yeah.
You could tell they did it themselves. And this lady had a big lawn out front, and not much else, and a couple of shrubs by her front porch deck kind of thing. And she told me what she wanted, and she said, I want low maintenance. I'm not into a whole bunch of yard work. I'll do a little, but I don't want to have a lawn. I don't want to have this. I don't want to have that. Okay, you know, I'm listening and getting it together for her here. And she said, I want lots of rock and a few hardy full sun plants. I'm like, okay, that makes it easy. And the ground was flat. It was dead flat.
Oh, that makes it easier.
Yeah, it was easy because you can get, and there was no fences I had to worry about.
or
gates or any of that. I can just drive my tractor right on there and get her done, buddy. So she wanted a lot of rock and no grass, no none of that. And so in my design, I created mini mounds. I, you know, there's the rock. and it's pretty, you know, pretty good size front yard.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a lot of rock and a few shrubs. You know, it's okay, but it's nothing to shout about.
Mm-hmm.
So I designed these mini mounds, and I left spaces where I didn't put any rock. And I put a mound about 3 feet in diameter and mounded it up about a foot. And I planted hardy plants in the center of those mounds.
Okay.
And as I was doing it, she, you know, whoa, she said, man, that's good. I like that. And instead of just plain gray rock, we did the like inch round rock, which shades of gray and stuff, but it's, you know, it's shades of gray all the time. It's just a bunch of rocks laying in your yard.
Yeah.
So I added color rock.
A little variety.
Yeah, some variety. So I did the base with the round rock, and then I added these color rocks. And you at the co-op, you can get them at Magnolia Farms. You can get it, and they got blues and greens and tans, and it's round rock, and it really, really jazzes up a place.
Yeah.
And after we created the mounds, I think there was maybe 10 or 12 mounds, and we put like a specimen dwarf conifer type of plant in each one, and put the rock all around it, and then around each mini mound I got quarry rock about 6-8 inches in diameter, and I lined the mound so that the little rock wouldn't encroach on the because in the where the plant was inside the rock inside the mound there that was bark mulch on top, so you had you had the contrast of bark, you had the round rock, you had the quarry rock, then you had this blue and green kind of randomly tossed around, and that's what we did. We tossed it here and there, and just kind of created just a real different look, and nothing was, you know, straight or square. It was just random. And then she, and as being an older lady, I wanted to make a pathway through it, kind of a curving, not a straight line, but a curving pathway all the way, so she could access her plants to water, because we didn't put a sprinkler in, so she's going to have to drag a hose around to, you know, the first year or two to really get them going. And so I used red lava rock, and I made a red lava rock pathway through all these greens and blues and grays.
Nice.
And then absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
So when you use the right kinds of rocks, it's not dull. It can be spectacular. In this particular two block area where she lives, it's the best looking landscape in the whole two blocks.
So there you go.
That's all there is to it. I mean, and all the plants have lived. She's taking really good care of it, but she doesn't have a maintenance problem. You know, she might spend a half an hour a week maybe watering or something like that.
Just
right. And the plants are beautiful. Dwarf Globosa spruce, which is a bright blue, almost like the screen there, is bright blue in the new growth, and it just spreads. It'll maybe get 4 or 5 feet in 20 years tall, and about that wide in that long time. But she doesn't have to prune it. She doesn't have to mess with it. She just has to make sure, you know, she maybe fertilizes it once a year with a handful of dry fertilizer in the middle of January when the rains will wash it into the soil.
Yeah.
And but it's something at this point in time, she doesn't even have to water anymore, because they're
perfect.
Hardy. They're hardy, natural plants, and that's what we're calling low maintenance now. and it's a pretty low maintenance. It looks good all the way around. And nobody, you know, if a car missed the turn, she lives on a slight curve there in the green. If somebody missed the lane they were in and actually drove into her yard, they would stop pretty quick because of all the rocks. Because we put a few large boulders in there as well.
Yeah.
Not many, but just enough to create a different illusion, a different look. So she's got, you know, 5 or 6 different kinds of rock with 5 or 6 different colors of rock all at the same time with these nice shrubs and these island plantings kind of scattered randomly through her whole front yard. I drive by it about once a month, just, you know, I go to look because I always do drive. I tell my clients, you know, if you don't do this right, I'll know because I do drive-bys. And they look at me and say, are you serious? I says, you bet I'm serious because if I see something wrong, I'm going to stop and tell you or call you.
Yeah, yeah, let you know about it.
Yeah, so when I say that, it's like a threat and they respond well to it.
One more break.
Okay.
Here we go. Right back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show here in a couple. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, it was quite the lovely neighborhood I grew up in.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you did.
We're back with Mike Winters' Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And I've been discussing, you know, high landscape, low maintenance landscapes and things like that and what you can do for your yard. And hopefully you've gotten some ideas and maybe this will increase your curiosity so you can start looking into these things if you like to change your landscape or add to your landscape. Yeah. And the lady I was just talking about that I did all in rock and really nice plants, I've never seen her out there doing any maintenance.
Yeah, no.
She might do it early in the morning, I don't know, but anytime I go by random times of the day, I never see any, and that place looks immaculate all the time.
Cool.
You know, I love it. Yeah. You know, and some of the plants I used, I was telling you earlier, was the slow-growing conifers, the dwarf types of, but they got different colors and shapes, like I was talking about the Globosa spruce. That's blue. Blue needles, real bright blue needles.
I think I've seen those.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Then some dwarf mugo pine, which have green needles. And then a slow-growing golden thread-leaf cypress has golden, bright yellow golden needles. So think about the green, the gold, and the blue kind of randomly placed into the colored rock all the way around. It makes a pretty picture.
Right.
It's different. It's unique. And it's easy to take care of. You don't have to stink and mess with it. And she had one regular Colorado blue spruce in her backyard, which kind of fell down to the creek. She didn't have a backyard really, and it was in a big old tub. She said, "Could you plant that out there for me?" So we did in one corner, so it wouldn't interfere with our landscape. But it's a nice looking.
It's still going, huh?
Oh yeah, and they're slow growers anyway, so it didn't matter. But when you create a very low maintenance yard with rocks that have like six different colors and sizes and a path to access those plants with a different colored rock, anybody would spend very little time watering after the first or second year because they're fully rooted in at that point in time. Yeah. You got very little weeding and no raking at all if you got rock. I mean,
that's great.
Why rake rocks?
Yeah, wasting your time.
Really. So this lady is still a happy camper. And then I've built landscapes that need several hours of maintenance every week, because some folks want this and this and lawns and sprinklers and water features and patios and stuff. And we do that. We'll do that. I want to please the client. I want to give the client what they want. Mm-hmm. They're custom built all the time.
Yeah.
And, a lot of shrubs and trees of many varieties. So they got a lot of color. A lot of different growth, habit, etc. And it's initially the homeowner, you know, did the maintenance on these things because the stuff was small and wasn't fully rooted in and all that. And most of them had children, so the children were out mowing the lawn.
Oh, yeah.
And, but after a while, that's not a professional maintenance. So, things kind of have a tendency to fall apart a little bit at a time. Even though you're mowing or they're trying to edge or prune and things like that, it's a world of difference. And so once a year, this one client I did a big job for, she'd call us up and say, can you come fix what my kids did?
Oh, no.
And we'd go through and spend, oh, maybe 2 days at their place with a full crew, back when I had a full crew, and whip it back into shape. And she was just ecstatic. And then the kids would take over from there. Well, now the kids are all grown up and they're in college or moved away.
Uh-oh.
So last year she called me. Mike, I want you full time. So we're doing her and her husband full time, and we originally put the landscape in and designed it and all that, and it's a fairly large area, and you know, at least an acre of landscape.
Jeez, that's quite
a bit. Oh, it is. It is quite a bit, but it's parceled in different. You know, the driveway comes down through the middle of it, and they got some tennis courts down there below, and basketball hoops, and other things, a big swimming pool in
the
back.
It's a YMCA.
Pert near. It's a beautiful place. It's a gorgeous place. And but they want the landscape to look good. So every Thursday, the crew is there and making sure that it's the lawns stay green, the water stays on, and the shrubs stay pruned and everything gets fertilized. So
and the grass stays mowed.
Yeah. And especially that. But, you know, the kids, when they mowed, their son would mow. And when she'd call us out there and say, well, my son Bob, or I forget a name, mowed last night, and I look at it and I go, yeah, I can tell that. But I didn't say anything. And she says, I know it doesn't look quite what it used to look like. I said, well, we could fix it. You know, we can fix that.
How old was this boy?
Oh, they were, you know, teenagers.
Ah.
You know, but they're playing baseball. They're, you know, they're going.
Other things on their mind.
Yeah, going swimming, you know, doing things that 17-year-old kids do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so anyway, we now take care of her place full time, and it's gorgeous.
And
she's very nice folks. And, you know, like they've been my clients, gosh, 15 years now or something like that. And
boy, they like you.
Well, yeah. Well, we do a good job for them, and they appreciate it. And that's what it's all about.
That's what counts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you're going to do something, do it right and do it professionally and do it as good as you can. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening.
And where are you in Winston, Mike?
We're on Highway 99 south of Winston, about a quarter of a mile south of the bridge, and I'm around the left-hand side as you're going south, and all our roofs are green, and there's a big giant sign that says Wintergreen Nursery right there.
There you go, and if you're looking for work.
Yeah, hey, call me, 679-8224.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.